You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Christian, and I'm one of the pastors here of the church. And I'm here to give the last installment of our series here called Dare to Faith. Again, as I said, we're concluding today our series called Dare to Believe. How many of you appreciate this series? How many of you can say that this has been helpful to you? All right. You know, in this series, we've been talking about characters in the Bible who actually had what, as Lowell said, audacious faith. They dared to believe God and dared to believe God's promises. And so in doing so, they experienced extraordinary things in and through their lives. In first week, we talked about Jehoshaphat and how God was able to supernaturally deliver them from their enemies. Second week, we talked about Joshua. And if you remember that story, that was the only time in history where a man commanded the sun and the moon to be still. I mean, talk about miracles. Third week, we talked about Caleb and how at 80 years of age, how many of you here, you're already in your 80s? Please don't raise your hand. Okay? Well, he is already in his 80s, but yet he still have the same faith, the same fervor, the same fire to do things for God and to claim things for God. Last week, we talked about, Pastor Paul shared about the daughters of Zelophehad. And he talked about, you know, how although culturally it was impossible for them to gain an inheritance, but because they believed that it was promised, it was a promise of God for them, they dared to claim, you know, the promise or the inheritance that God has for them. And so today we're going to look at another story. It's actually kind of interesting. It's only a few verses, but yet this is action-packed. It's like, if you would let your imagination play as you read the scripture, it's like you're watching an action movie of Hollywood, okay? And so the scripture today is in 2 Samuel 23, verses 13 to 17. This is about the story of three of David's mighty men, okay? David had several generals in his army, and they called themselves the mighty men, or the people termed them as the mighty men. And this part is about three of those amazing, amazing men, okay? It starts with verse 13, and let me read it for you. It says there, and three of the 30 chief men went down and came about harvest time to David at the cave of Adullam when a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 14, David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. And David was said longingly, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate. Then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it to the Lord and said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. What shall I drink? Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Let's pause first with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. And Lord, thank you that they are life to us. Thank you that they change our hearts. It has the power to change our minds as well. It has the power to move us, to transform us, Lord. And so, God, Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd be the one, Lord, to speak to every single one of us here today as we interact with your word, as we allow our minds to be consumed, Lord, with your word today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See, let me just give you a background of the story that we've read. This story is part of a narration of sorts of the exploits of David's generals or David's mighty men. As I've said earlier, he had several, and it was recounting how these men are so great. In fact, there was one man, one of his generals, was able to defeat 800 people with just one hand. I don't know if we can do that, but that's how powerful he is, how skilled he is at spears. I mean, if he was alive today, perhaps he was just texting with one hand and then fighting the enemy with another. That's how powerful and how skillful that guy is. There's another man with whom he just stuck there in one area, and every person who went there, it's like the Avengers, you know, protecting that part, you know, in that city. I mean, everyone who went there, they were just, you know, they were just defeated by this man's, because of this man's skill with a sword. And then at the middle of that story is this. Imagine David, when he was with his men, they were actually at this time going, defeated, they were retreating to Adullam, to the cave of Adullam, and then on their way there, he just made this remark and said, "Oh, how I wish I have, you know, I can drink water from the well of the gates of Bethlehem." And three of his men, three of his valiant soldiers, you know, immediately responded. And imagine what they did. Three men, they broke through the ranks of the Philistines. If you look at the parallel scripture of this, it means that, you know, they broke through a lot of, it's like this big of an army, even bigger than this. If you look around this, I mean, and they broke through this kind of a crowd, a kind of an army, and they were able to do what they were supposed to do. And as I was allowing, you know, this to play in my mind, and as I was reflecting on it, I thought, what qualified these men to do this? In fact, there are three questions that I'd like to ask ourselves today about this story. Three questions for us to interact with this story better. Number one is this: what kind of men are those three that dared to do something or extraordinary? What kind of men are those three that they dared to do something extraordinary? Number two, what kind of king is David to deserve that kind of devotion? And finally, what kind of response was that of David when his men gave that water to drink? Let's go first with the first question. What kind of men are those three that they dared to do something that is so extraordinary? See, if you would allow your imagination, you see, that's a good way to read the Bible, by the way. Don't just read it and allow it to enter one ear and then go out the other. Allow it to, you know, stay here in your mind. Allow your imagination to play as you read the scripture so that it will make more meaning to you. And so, if you would think about this mighty man, if you would think, what qualified this man? What kind of men could these be to have that boldness, to have that audacity, to go through and advance against an army bigger than this? What kind of courage do these men possess? What kind of boldness? What kind of skill do they have? And perhaps you might be thinking, they might be very ripped. They might be very strong. Could it be? Could it be that they like that? Or could it be that they are just, you know, simple like us? Not as buffed like us, but they just have something in their hearts burning. That's why they were able to do what they were supposed to do. And so, again, what happened was their goal was to get a cup of water, a drink for their King David. And they fought through the Philistine army. And then after doing so, when they were at the gate, they got the water. And then after getting the water, okay, they went back again, fighting again all those Philistines. And then the Bible says there was no spill. I mean, that's the greater miracle perhaps in this. I mean, if this was a movie, I believe the only logical people who can play these roles would be Jackie Chan, Chuck Norris, and Jet Li. I mean, fighting all those armies and yet holding that glass in one hand and having no spills. What kind of men are these three that they dared to do something that extraordinary? See, they displayed strength. They displayed courage, yes. Most likely, they displayed a lot of skill, okay, in getting that cup. They displayed a lot of bravery. Speaking of getting cups, I would remember there would be times, especially when I was still newly married to my wife, there would be times that she would ask for water late in the night. And so our house, our apartment that had two floors, and so the water is in the first floor, we are in the second floor, and so she would wake me up, "Hon, babes, can you just please get me some water?" And so me, the brave man that I am, I would step out of the bed, go outside, and as I was walking through the stairs, I would make sure everything is well lit. Because at that time, I'm afraid of the dark. Who among you like me, you're still afraid of the dark? Nobody wants to admit. My son yesterday was, I brought my son yesterday to the emergency room, and because he had an injury on his foot, And so we had to make a test if he's okay, if there's tetanus and all. And so the doctor said it would be better for him to have tetanus boosters. And so they gave him a shot here, and then a shot here, and then another, some tests, that blood tests that were drawn here. And so I can still remember the times when I was a kid, when I would see that needle, and my mom would chase me out of the clinic. You know, she would chase, run after me, trying to bring me back to the clinic because I needed those shots. But yet my son, yesterday, when the doctor was giving those shots, I mean, he was squinting, yes, but after the shot, and he said, "Daddy, that wasn't so bad." I was so ashamed. He was so brave yesterday. I commended him. He's such a brave boy. I mean, going back to these guys are so, so brave. They were willing to endure such great opposition just to get a cup of water. Do you know what initiated it? It's actually interesting. What initiated this whole exploit is just a simple wish from David. David, according to the scripture, he said longingly, "Oh, how I wish I could drink a cup of water from the well that isn't by the gate of Bethlehem." It was just a wish. It was not even a command. It was not even a direct request. He was just saying those high moments. You know, how wish I have this. How wish I have that. You know, but he was so, these three guys, they were so attuned to the heart of their king. These three guys, they were so concerned about the concerns of their king that even those high moments, they were able to listen and pick it up, and they responded immediately. See, our God in heaven, He also has those cries from his heart. He also has those longings. The question is, are we close to God enough? Are we concerned about God's concerns enough that even those little concerns, longings of God, we hear and we respond to immediately? See, we serve a God in heaven as well. And my prayer is that we would emulate these three men when we relate with our God. You know, it started with that longing. But you know what fueled it? I believe what fueled it is the love of these three men for their leader. It's the respect of these three men to David. It's their admiration. It's their honor. They want to honor these men. And that is why they did the exploits that they did. I'm reminded of the story of one of our volunteers. Her name is Elena Coppa. Elena actually is 70 years old. Elena is one of our faithful victory group leaders. He's one of our faithful volunteers in kids ministry. And as the kids administrators would say, Elena would always be the first one to go. Whenever it's her time to serve in kids ministry, she would always be one of the first to be here in church. And sometimes she's one of the last to leave, making sure that everything was in order. We found out that this woman lives in Tanawan, Batangas. She lives about 2 to 3 hours from here. Travels by bus. Endures those 2 to 3 hours every month, sometimes twice a month, just because she wants to serve in kids' church. And you know what? This woman was not doing this begrudgingly. In fact, most of the people who know her, they say she's the most cheerful person that they know whenever she would serve in kids' church. As I come to think of it, why would a woman like that, 70 years old, would travel, endure 2 to 3 hours during Sundays just to be able to serve? Why? Because I believe Elena loves her king. I believe Elena knows her king, and he loves her king. That is why she's willing to do that for her king. Now the second question. What kind of king is David to deserve that kind of devotion? Imagine if you are David. Imagine knowing the three of your men risked their lives just so that you can drink. I mean, what kind of king deserves that kind of loyal, sacrificial service. Let's look at the character of David. King David, I'm sure many of you are familiar with him. But King David, even at a young age, he was a brave warrior. He's a giant slayer at that. And not just that, but he's a superb tactician, an excellent, excellent leader. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 72, with upright heart he shepherded them, this talks about David, and guided them with skillful hand. See, David as a leader, he is a leader with character. He's a leader with care for his people, genuine concern for his people. And not just that, but he is also very, very competent. How many of you wish these are the kinds of leaders that we have in our nation? But David is like that. That is why the people in his time, they love his leadership. Because not only is he competent, he is a man of character. Yes, he had some failings, but overall, they see him as a man. God sees him as a man of character. But not just that, but he is also genuinely concerned for his people. Not only was he an excellent leader, but he was an excellent developer of other leaders. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 and 2 says here, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there with him. This was when David was being pursued by Saul. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was in bitter soul gathered to him, and he became commander over them, and there were with him 400 men. You know who these 400 men were? They were eventually the mighty men of David, David's generals. See, David was able to transform and develop this batch of losers, this batch of people who are distressed, in debt, and depressed men, and turn them into valiant, courageous, skillful, mighty warriors. See, that is the kind of leader David is. But how many of you know, as good a king as David is, we serve a king who is far greater than David. We serve a king who was able to transform your lives from the distressed, depressed, downtrodden lives perhaps that we had before, the kind of lives that were hopeless because of our sin, and because of his love for us, he was able to transform our lives from that kind of life to now the kind of lives that we have. That is the kind of king that we serve. If David deserved, in a way, that kind of devotion and allegiance, how much more our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords? Do we know God like that? If David knew, if his men knew that he was that kind of leader, that's why they served him like that, how much do we know of God? How much do we know of Jesus Christ? I like this scripture a lot. In the New King James Version, or in the King James Version, in Daniel 11:32b, it says there, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I believe all of us here, God has destined for each and every single one of us here to do something great for him. You are called by God to do something great in your life. You are called by God to make an impact and influence over your families, over your neighborhoods. God's destiny for you is to become great. But you know what? It starts by knowing him. Because the people who know their God shall do great and mighty exploits. They will be strong and mighty in the land. I'm reminded of Peter. Imagine Peter and John in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 4 and 5. Remember, we went through that in one of our series. And we remember that Peter and John, they were being persecuted after healing that lame man. They were dragged to the Sanhedrin and they were being tried. They were being accused, people are beating him, people are persecuting him, but yet they stood up. They were able to stand up and defend their faith and speak about Christ amongst the people who actually crucified Christ. Imagine the boldness. Imagine the audacity of these men. Imagine the courage that these men, Peter and John, possessed. When we read that scripture, you know, further, you find there when they were sent home, they went to the other believers. And when the other believers saw them, they were praying to God. And if you notice their prayer was not, Lord, kill those who oppose us or persecute us. Their prayer was, Lord, listen to their pleas, listen to their threats, but make us bold. Make us strong so that we will preach your word with power and with confidence. That's the kind of exploits these men are able to do. You know, the people were baffled why two uneducated men, two fishermen at that, uneducated provincial men was able to do that, was able to preach with authority, was able to heal the sick, do all those miraculous things. They could not comprehend why. Their only conclusion was, it's because they were with Jesus. It's because they knew Jesus. You see, we may not look at ourselves as someone who is strong, who's gifted, talented, but if you look at the Bible, the only requirement is, do you know Him? Do you know Christ? Do you know what Jesus has done for you? Because when you know that, you will be, you know, there's no telling what God will be able to do in and through you when you know our King. In fact, our service, talking about service, our service to God every day here in church is actually a reflection of how much we know Him. How much do you know God? How much do you know Jesus? How much do you know about what He has done for you? The more you know about that, I mean, there's no telling what kind of service God will enable you to do. Finally, our third question. What kind of response was that of David when his men gave that water to drink? Imagine. In verse 16 of 2 Samuel, going back to that scripture. When the men, after fighting through the hordes of Philistines, okay, brought that drink that did not spill even a single drop, according to the Bible. Okay, when he brought that drink to them, or when they brought that drink to him, he poured it down. He poured it to the Lord. I guess if you were one of those men who were with them at that time, and you knew the kind of trouble. I mean, to talk about trouble is an understatement. The kind of harassment, the kind of struggles that these three men had to endure just to procure that water. And then David would do that. You would say, wow, what a waste. In Tagalog, we say, sayang. What a waste. Imagine the perspective of those three men. After giving, I mean, I'm sure they were still catching their breath at that time. And then when they gave it to David, David saw it and then poured it on the ground. I can't imagine what's going through their mind at that time. And that's why I appreciate that David explained why he did what he did. In verse 17 says, he said after pouring it down on the ground, he said, it's for the Lord. And this is what he said. Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things, the three men, the mighty men did. See, when David realized that out of a whim, out of a wish, three of his generals risked their lives just for him, for his thirst to be quenched. And when he realized the things that they had, that they endured, when he saw their dedication, when he saw their devotion, David said, Lord, I am not worthy for this kind of a devotion. This kind of a devotion. You're the only person who deserves this kind of devotion. That is why he poured it on the ground. The Bible calls it like a drink offering. In the Old Testament, you see it all over. Especially in religious rituals, they would pour wine on the altar to symbolize that the one who's pouring it, it's a symbol, it's a symbolism, it's a declaration that God, you're the one who blesses us, and God, you deserve all things. That's what David is doing. He's saying, Lord, I don't deserve this, but Lord, this devotion, this service, this worship, only you deserve it. Only you deserve it. And so if we come to think of it, it was not a waste. Hindi siya sayang. Because it was for the Lord. I want to share with you another story of our volunteers. His name, this guy, I'm sure many of you are already familiar with him. His name is William. William also is one of our fruitful Victory Group leaders as well as Kids Church volunteer. And he loves volunteering in Kids Church. He loves teaching kids. The reason why we don't have a lot of kids here is because of people like him who make sure that our kids are learning as well in a different environment so that we can be focused in the service. And you know what? This man, he loves serving in Kids Church. I think about 2 years ago, he started serving in Kids Church. I guess many of you are not familiar, but William is actually physically handicapped. And when we found out about his story, I mean, we were so moved. I mean, what this guy would do because of his passion to serve in kids' ministry, what he would do on a Sunday is he would go early in the morning on the street, wait for a jeepney to pass by his street, and then when a jeepney would hail, would go in front of him, would stop in front of him, he would boldly ask the people inside the jeep, "Excuse me, can you help me bring my wheelchair inside the jeep so that I can sit?" I mean, imagine the kind of boldness that he needed to muster in order for him to do that. And he would do this willingly. He would do this with all his heart. Why? Because he's looking forward to when he arrives here in this building, he's going to see those kids again. And he will be able to share the word of God to them. That is what fueled this man. I mean, he could be doing a lot of other things that week or in weeks that he's serving. He could be, you know, he could choose to say to God, "Lord, I already have this handicap," but he did not let his handicap hinder him from serving the Lord. Why? Because he knew his God. He loves his God. And he deemed it that God is worthy for an utmost service. See, that's our God. And you know what? We have several hundreds of volunteers here in church. How many of you appreciate our volunteers? Yeah. We appreciate them so much. You know, we have hundreds. In fact, I think we have about 2,000 volunteers here in church. If you like going here in this church, if you like coming here and you enjoy the service, you enjoy the kids' church here, the reason why we're able to do that is because of our volunteers. I mean, we only have a handful of staff compared to the ratio, the volume of church members that we have, but we are able to do what we do because of the countless numbers of volunteers who regularly gives off their time, their energy, and their resources just to serve here in church, just like this guy, William. You know, we have a guy in church, a CEO of a company. And then you would see him there as one of our ushers. We have a general, we have four retired generals who serve in Kids Church and who also are ushers. We have military officers as our ushers. Imagine that. Imagine the privilege of being led to a chair by a military officer. Some of you are not smiling at them. You better smile. You better be good to them. We have one of our volunteers as well in kids ministry. You know, she is a principal, I think, in one of the schools here. But she is just so happy serving in the kids church. And you know what her job is in kids church? Her job is to assist preschoolers to go from their room to the bathroom when they need to go wee-wee. And she's so happy in doing that. Why? Because all of these people, they don't consider their time, their effort, their energy, their resources. When they give it to God, they don't see it as a waste. Some people will think, "What are you doing? It's Sunday. There's so many things that you can do." But yet these people know they're doing this for God. They're doing this for their King. The reason why they're giving off their time is because they're saying, "This is not a waste. This is for my King. He deserves it." In fact, I want to close with a scripture. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says there, "Therefore I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your what? Your reasonable service." Some people think serving in church is a sacrifice. But when you understand and when you experience the grace of God, when you fully understand what Jesus did for us, the mercy of Christ, the forgiveness that we have in Him, the kind of life you can enjoy because of Him, when you at least have an iota of appreciation of that, guess what? You won't see those sacrifices as sacrifices. It's going to be a joy. In fact, you will say, "This is reasonable because I love my King. I know my King, and He is worth everything." Amen? I'd like for us to pray at this moment. I'd like for us to close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, we thank You for this time. Lord, we thank You for this church. God, Lord, we thank You that it's not a coincidence, Lord God, that we are here. You sovereignly put people into church families. And Lord, we are so grateful that we are part of this spiritual family. We're so grateful that we can experience worship like this. We're so grateful that we can experience services like this, a kids' church facility like this, a building like this. And it's all because You've caused people. You've used people, Lord God, to make this a reality. God, Lord, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for those volunteers. We're so grateful for every single one of them, God. We pray that You'll bless them.
So stand up. Now, before we end, I remember one of our pastors saying that, you know, one of the ways that our service, you know, is tested for our nation, if you want to see even our nation change, that one of the places that we need to learn how to serve is in the church. You know, serving in a thankless job sometimes, and you know, it makes your heart. It makes your heart tender that if you're willing to do something that others will not, you know, give you recognition, then, you know, it's a test of character, and it's a good, you know, it's a good place for you to be molded so that when God really gives you maybe a family or even to a nation, you're going to have the right heart. And so your service, like Pastor Christian said, is a reasonable service. It's not a waste. You're changing a life. You're changing the community, the environment you're in, and even the nation that we're in. So let's just pray. Lord, thank You. Because if You came here, even as You said in Your word, You came here not to be served, but to serve others first. God, thank You because we have a King that served us, and out of that service, that death on the cross, God, we can serve You back. And this service is not a waste of time, but rather this service is going to produce changed life. It's going to produce even joy in our hearts. And even a time of refreshing. Because You said in Your word, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Lord, we pray that even doubt or fear or even worries that I don't even have the time to do that, God, You will wash that away. And God, we would just have a willing heart to walk in Your ways that is prepared for us to do good works this year. God, thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.